he's a very calculated businessman and politician, Donald Trump is. And I've been watching him.
He's also an entertainer.
He's a showman. That's right. That's right. And I've been watching him and studying his moves and what he's doing, how he's doing it. But here's the thing. When you are calling people out, when you're trying to do, like Eben moments ago in the last segment referenced that, you know, well, he didn't, you know, he kind of let me down a little bit because of the shadow government, or he's just a puppet, or this, you know, all these very critical things. Like, somehow you reference him like he's Superman, even. Like he's freaking Superman or underdog or like, dun, 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 I'm here to save the day. I mean, come on, girlfriend. I mean, he's dealing with forces that would choke any of us down and kill us. And that I get.
What did he say during his campaign? Drain the swamp. And he was
trying to drain the swamp, honey, but those crocodiles are biting his ass a mile a minute.
You know, he was telling everybody, I'm going to fix it. And you know what? The show is still going on.
You're not in the final segment, love.
The person Trump that did the campaign is not the same person as.
Yeah, I don't agree with you.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
So I'm on national radio just this morning, and one of the hosts of the show is a national commentator. One of the hosts says to me, so what do you think about this Russia thing, Malcolm? Should Trump have talked about the meddling in the election? And that was the big concern to this host, you see. And I said, I can't believe this dude is asking me this. We got all these issues going on with Russia, and this host still wants to know, did they meddle in the election? So my response was, yeah, no, maybe, so what? I mean, we got to move on here. I mean, we can't keep talking about this election meddling. I said, and let me tell you further, I said, if you are worried about Russia and meddling in the election with all the things going on in the world, then you obviously are not really getting it. Of course, this host was a far left host who was trying to set me up for kind of a big fall on Russia. And so let me explain to you. We do more meddling in the world, the United States does, and we do more listening in than anybody on planet Earth. So
we spy on 193 countries.
We don't talk about that. We talk about Russia. We talk about, you know, how dare they do that? What do you mean, how dare they do that? I mean, we do it ourselves. So here's the deal. The big question today on this Russia phobia thing is, so what do you do? Do you isolate them further? This is what I said to the commentator on National Radio this morning. What do you want to do? Isolate? You want the Cold War. This is what you want. A return to those days, right? And how does that help any of us out? Well, it clearly doesn't. Listen, the best thing to do, bring Russia into the meeting, sit down, have a real conversation, start to lay out some of the things and the hot spots around the world. And this is how you have diplomacy. This is how you solve world problems. This is, you know, you do an eye-to-eye contact. And anyways, big bad Russia. That's what we're going to talk about today. My golly. You know, I tell you, I'm ready for a diplomatic meeting myself with Russia. I can handle this, no problem here. It's Malcolm Out Loud, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Russophobia. Listen, I mean, if you had, all right, 25 cents for every time you heard the word Russia over the past year, do you know we'd all be wealthy? You'd be loaded. And you're hearing Ava Armstrong, our co-host from New England. She's just dying to get at this topic. And Eben Tranholm from Denmark joins us. And we are talking here Russophobia. So that conversation really happened, ladies, this morning with a national radio program and in a live interview. And we're talking about, they wanted my thoughts on Russia. And I said, well, no, bring them in, talk to them, sit them down. Let's have a conversation. Well, but they meddled in our election. Get over it, you people. These people still have not come to grips that they lost an election is the problem. And it just continues to permeate from there. Eben Trenholm, I'll tell you what, we've talked about this Russia thing, and you yourself have a good history of Russia because you visit Russia a lot. You know what's going on out there. But have you ever seen such hysteria in your life about this Russia phobia? And what do you think's behind it all? What's the driving principle, Eben?
Well, I think you can't really understand this only from a political perspective. I mean, you have to dig deeper and understand it on a, I would even say, a spiritual level. I think it's not so much a conflict of geopolitical interests. It's more a conflict of values. Because if we turn back the pages a bit, I mean, when did the whole Russia hysterical or the Russia bashing mode start?
When did it start?
It started actually when the punk group Pussy Riot, right. Maybe people remember the Pussy Riot, who went into a church and they were desecrating the church in front of the iconostasis, which is the most holy area in the Russian Orthodox Church, where they performed a punk song where they were singing against Putin, and they asked the Virgin Mary to stop him. And for the Russians, that was just completely blasphemous. I mean, it was just a huge blasphemy. And in Russia, I mean, people, they really, after the fall of communism, they have come back to the Christian faith. So they don't tolerate things like that. But in the West, it was seen as an expression of freedom of speech, of course. I mean, because here it's about, you know, mocking religion and try to show that you can do, you can say whatever you want about God, and you can just, you know, ridicule
even I remember
as much,
the Pussy Riot. Even I remember the Pussy Riot incident you're speaking about. I know exactly what you're talking about, okay? And I get that. But you really think that was the spark, the catalyst that started this new round of Cold War? You don't think it was the election of Donald Trump to office?
No. It started long before. But then after that, the Russians passed a law where they prohibited to make propaganda, homosexual propaganda in front of minors. It's very important. It's not forbidden to be a homosexual in Russia, but you can't expose your sexual desires in front of minors. You have to keep it a private thing. Here in the West, we are told that religion should be a private thing. In Russia, they would say sexuality is a private thing. So whatever you do in your own home, nobody cares. But don't take it out into the street and make those prides. That's what they don't want, because they want to protect the family. And that was the next step. People freaked out completely in the West. And, you know, and then it really started. And then there were the Olympic Games in Sochi. And it just went on and on and on. You know, I was watching BBC, CNN, and they were just so negative with Russia because they were punishing them for this, first the Pussy Riots, and then the law against homosexual propaganda. Mm-hmm. So that was what really sparked it. And okay. Ever since that, it has just been growing.
It's
and
been
growing
it's
and
a bit,
getting
right.
more and more hysterical.
Well,
so it is actually a moral spiritual conflict more than
well,
it is.
We'll
a
get more
conflict.
Into the spiritual part of this for sure, because I know there's a lot there to unwrap and unpack there, Eben. There's no doubt about that. But Eben, when you hear the sparks that Eben is talking about, how do those ring to you? First of all, are you familiar with what happened with those? And do you think that those are relevant to where this thing started to get unwound, what Eben has put out there? I mean, she put quite a bit out there, actually.
Yes, that's a good historical reference. And we are very different in the West from Russia's culture. They have a totally different history. They're an oligarchy. They have a totally different form of government. They're a very interesting regime to study historically. But I'm taking this up to 35,000 feet. Okay. Russia, yes, they are one of our enemies. But like you said, we're meeting with them recently. Donald Trump met with them recently. And we're looking for common ground. And I think that's a wise thing to do. I think it's not a good thing to just isolate yourselves from a culture and say, well, you know, we don't understand that culture. We don't like it. Just like when Trump, you know, made his visit to Saudi Arabia, found some common ground there. These are things that a diplomatic president who happens to be the most powerful man in the world should be doing. So I see that as a positive move. However, I will not let Russia off the hook. I think the obsession with Russia lately is all because of Donald Trump being elected, and there's this huge Democratic thing in this country with the Democrats to get him impeached, because they want so badly to find some little thread in there that they can pull and say, oh, look, Russia, you know, somehow corrupted our election. Well, I have news for people who believe that, okay, CNN or whoever's saying these things, is probably all of them, but I have news for you, news flash. The United States spies on 193 different countries, okay? And we also infiltrate elections in other countries. So I just want you to know that this is something that is very common, okay? It goes on all the time, and it's been going on for a long time. Russia is involved in our country as well. They're very much spying on us in many different ways. And I happened, before I hit this program today, I read the worldwide threat assessment of the U.S. intelligence community, which was just published on May 11th, 2017, by the Director of National Intelligence. Now, obviously, this has a table of contents. I won't get into it in great detail, but I will tell you, if you read this, you may not be able to sleep at night. Yes, Russia is a threat to the United States, but we have to look at this from 35,000 feet and say, put it in perspective.
Listen, Eva, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When did you visit Russia? Have you ever visited Russia?
No, I've never set foot in Russia.
Okay, so now you tell me why you can be so certain that they are our enemies, and how come that you rely on the media reporting? I mean, CNN has just been revealed that there is nothing in this Russia reporting. They said, I mean, that it was a big nothing burger. So if you really want to trust those media, you tell me why you think that Russia is our enemy, because you're just going to echo what the media says. But, you know, I would
I don't get my information from the media. I get my information by watching what Russia does. Who are they making allies with?
But listen, you are only being informed by your own intelligence services and your media. And I can tell you, if you go to Russia, I have been to Russia several times the last 3 years because I've been doing a lot of research. You would not believe that Russia is the country, or the country that you visit it would be the same Russia that they are portraying in the mainstream media in the West. It's two different countries. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would be so astonished. You would be awestruck to see how wonderful Russia is, and how it's being portrayed in such a negative way in the West, so you cannot recognize it. I mean, everybody I know who has, you know, made the effort to go to Russia, they were very skeptical, like everybody else. And they all came back to me and said, you're right. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, Russia is not at all the country that we're being told it is. So it's a completely manipulation. It has nothing to do with reality. And Russia is our friend because they are Christian culture. And it's very, very important. And Russia was always a Christian culture. It was only during communism that it was suppressed and it was persecuted. So
right.
Russia...
I'm aware of it.
I mean, Russia is our natural ally. And
this is one of the...
Please let me finish. You can speak afterwards. And this is one of the reasons why the leftists are so busy, and the neocons as well, to separate the West from Russia, because they don't want the Western culture to come back to Christianity. And Russia, if people in the West would really discover what is Russia, they might come back to their old Christian culture because they would feel inspired. And this is what the leftist wants to prevent. So it is a huge spiritual warfare, and it is a warfare of morality, values, religion, spirituality. And, you know, people in the West, they are being prevented from having this information. It's like we are now living in the Soviet Union, because back in the Soviet time, people in the Soviet Union were told, don't listen to what they say in the West. They're evil people, and we have the best world of all worlds. So don't even consider what they're saying. Now it is actually the opposite situation, that we're being told that we have the best of all worlds, and we should not listen to those evil people. It's exactly the same. It's just reversed. I mean, so it's crazy. It's crazy. It has nothing to do with reality, what you're hearing about Russia in the West.
Yeah, it depends what your reality is, I guess. So even you believe that Russia, I know you believe that Russia is not up to the sort of evil that has been portrayed in the media. And you believe that No. Vladimir Putin has better intentions than that. Let me ask you now, with the recent meetings of Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, I think when Trump took office, this concept that he thought he could work with Putin, this was really what the big news article was. The big story of the day was maybe there's a new way to take this relationship to a new level. Because let's face it, under the previous administration, the relationship with Russia and America has deteriorated to such a bad point. Now, that's been ongoing for some time. You're right. And when you mention those sparks, I get that. But the real problem of where this thing really got unraveled goes back, I still believe, to the election of Trump, because the left, they are now taking the entirely opposite side of Russia now than what they did before the election, that they are after the election. You understand?
Yeah, remember back when Mikhail Gorbachev was, you know, they were having Gorbasms. You know, that was kind of like a joking term when, you know, the wall was broken down and, you know, freedom came to Russia and all this. I mean, the press was eating this up. They were just, you know, in love with Russia. Everything was Russia, Russia. You know, it was all wonderful.
But it's not so wonderful now, Ava.
No, but I mean, that was before Russia really started to come back to his Christian roots. I mean, it was just after this fall of communism.
Well, I want to ask you something.
And everything was very uncertain. Okay. And the West and the West thought that Russia would become like us, because we had this idea that everybody should think like us. Now Russia has come back to its Christianity, and the leftists cannot forgive Russia.
I agree with most of what you say right there. I do believe you're right with that. There's definitely a major Christianity movement in Russia, the Orthodox Christians. I mean, there's no question in my mind about that. Russia is even referenced in the Bible in many ways, that it has a place in all of this in history. And it's referenced in recent words from the church now, that it is going to be a turning point, that God is going to use Russia in a very interesting way. Is that right, Eben?
Yeah, absolutely. There has been a lot of prophecies about it.
Exactly.
And, I mean, Our Lady of Fatima, is actually, this year is 100 years ago that Our Lady revealed herself in Fatima, appeared in Fatima. And she said that she was talking about Russia, and when Russia would be converted, there would be peace in the world.
But here's what I want to ask you.
And these people don't want peace.
All right, but here's what I want to ask you now. But, taking all of that into consideration, even, if that is all what we are saying here that you are putting forth here with Russia, then why is it they hang with some of the baddest cats on the planet? Why do they have the kind of relationship with Iran? We talk about forces of good and evil and the fine line that is possessed with good and evil in the world here. And you look at some of the cast of characters like Iran, like Syria. You take a look at these sort of regimes that are very socialist, communist sort of regimes. You can bring it all the way to Venezuela, Cuba, and keep going. My point is, why is it Russia hangs with those cats in that neighborhood? What kind of a message does that send to the world if they are all about what's good and kind in the world?
I can't go into the details about Iran. Syria, I mean, they are in Syria to prevent ISIS from taking over and to protect the Christians. But I would ask a counter question. How come that we have an ally in Saudi Arabia in the West? I mean, politics is a dirty thing. So sometimes you need to work with people that might not be the best boys in the class, but you have to do that to prevent a bigger evil.
I say that all the time. I say that all the time, and you really do. I mean, you do that, and the old saying, "You keep your enemies close by," is very, very important. And you look at, so that's my answer back is, yeah, you want to sit down with Vladimir Putin in Russia, and you want to look at them in the eye, and you want to draw some of these things. Now, listen. I do believe there's room for progress and room to move this very historical relationship of America and Russia forward. I do believe there's some possibilities, but the political cards have been played to do as much damage to this major relationship as possible, because a lot of people are nervous. I'm going to tell you why. Like him or love him or hate him, Donald Trump is turning on the lights in the room and the cockroaches are running. Now, whether you like him, hate him, but he is turning on the lights and people are nervous as hell, because some of these people don't look too pretty and they don't want to be caught in the light. So I think what's happening here is there's a lot of people moving here. There are a lot of things in play. There's a lot more to this conversation than what meets the eye, and the media reports absolutely none of it. They are on their high horse to really create more. They want a Cold War. They want this, relationship with Russia and America to deteriorate. So this is kind of what's happening here. And so
it was fascinating. One of the articles that we had to read for this presentation today was the Project Veritas.
Yes.
James O'Keefe. And how he caught CNN's Jeff Zucker telling them that, you know, he wanted them to play that angle up, even though it was false.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just so transparent.
It is very transparent. You're Ava, 1,000,000% right.
You know?
Yep. They are all, that's exactly the point. That's what they are doing. And I think that
And
people...
I want even to know, I'm going to watch the Putin interviews that Oliver Stone did.
Right.
I want to watch that. Because
where are those available, on Netflix or HBO?
I think it was Showtime.
Showtime, okay, neither, all right.
I think it was, yeah. And I'll definitely look that up and watch it, because that's something that just I find intriguing.
Well, listen, we're going to pause here just a moment here. Let me ask, Eben, did you see those files, the Oliver Stone thing, the Putin interview?
Yes, and he only said what I already knew, because
don't get into that now, Eben. Don't get into that now. We're going to pause here a moment. I'm just asking you. You did see those, okay? We'll see where that falls, and we'll continue this conversation in just a moment with Eben Tranholm and Ava Armstrong. We are one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We stand proudly with the men and women who serve in our armed forces and our law enforcement heroes. Thank you for being part of our family. And we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. We are back. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. We're having a great conversation here. Russophobia. All about the Russophobia. I don't know if you've got that problem or not, friends, but it is a real problem out there. And people seem to have, they've taken too much of this. They ingested it, and they've all gone a little cuckoo, I think, you know. So we're sort of unveiling that today and unwrapping this a little bit. Joining us from the New England areas, Ava Armstrong, and from Denmark, Eben Tranholm. Two both very politically astute women who really get what's going on politically. You know, very interesting opinions here and conversations we're having. Of course, I myself report on this on the National News Wires about what the relationship with Russia and what's happening. And, you know, a lot of people are still stuck into that election mode of what happened. If Russia wasn't already a problem before all this propaganda, it's become nothing but a problem, and they set this really bad playing field. You know, when you go into a meeting, you prepare for it. You prepare for the conversation. You prepare to sit down with high-end officials. In this case, they created a very rocky environment, circumstances even. It created a disaster across the board. That wasn't exactly fear. In other words, that's not something to build on, good relationships and good faith. An American-Russian relationship, which I think can be good. At the core of it, I absolutely do kind of agree with you, Eben, and I have from the beginning. I believe there's a lot more that can come in the good of a strong Russia-American relationship. I do believe faith and Christianity can win out here, but I do believe we've got to understand where the evil is in all of this. So on that sense, I agree, but I don't think he's the choir boy you put him out to be, quite frankly, you know?
Well, I think what disappointed me was the fact that I now understand it doesn't really matter who we're voting for, because it's going to be the same policy no matter who it is.
Wow.
Because there is this shadow government, unidentified people who are ruling the world. And if you are the president of the United States, you're just a puppet. It means that you're just going to do what you're being told. And I think because Trump was this bully in the china shop that just was telling everybody he was going to do it his way. So for me, it was a shock to see that he transformed into a puppet in a few weeks. So
now, do you still think he's a puppet now? Do you still think he's a puppet right now, even? And do you think there's any shot that this thing can materialize to something positive?
Well, I mean, when he was in Poland yesterday and he gave that speech, he knows for sure that Poland's relationship with Russia is very sensitive because of history. So he made this remark, said, well, that Russia should stop interfering in Ukraine. And then today he says that he wants to, at the G20 meeting, that he wanted to cooperate with Russia somehow, or they should speak together. So, I mean, of course, he has to adjust to different kind of policies. But I think in the end, yes. Trump is not allowed to have a good relationship with Russia. That's why I think that the political situation is now so poisoned. So So the only way that we can build a better relationship with Russia is through Christianity, is through the churches. So I think right now you can't count on any politician. And that's why I'm a little bit fed up with Washington and with Trump. Because you can count on these people, and they're not going to make peace because they're told not to.
I think you're being a little too harsh, quite frankly.
So I mean, the only people now who can change the situation are the Christians in East and West, not the politicians. It's only the Christians that can start to get together, start to have a better relationship, start to pray together, start to pray for each other, and start to visit each other.
Okay.
Because the politicians is not going to do the job.
Ava, talk to me about the shadow government that Eben puts out there a moment. Talk to me about that and your feelings on that. I'm sure you got something to say about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm pissed off about a lot of things. there are some Republicans, never Trumpers. There are people that, I could just slap them across the face. I'm really upset. And Democrats... you better be careful, because I'll tell you right now, you think you have it made right now. You think you have Trump pushed down into a corner, but you're going in the wrong direction. You need to go along with this man. He is the president of the United States, and the election was completely above board and legal. And you need to get off this impeachment idea. You need to go along, and America needs to unite behind this president. I have never in my lifetime seen a person who is perfect. If I do, it'll be probably Jesus Christ, okay? And I'll probably be dead when I meet him. So I'm just telling you, every human being has flaws. Donald Trump has flaws. Yes, he does. But he's our president. And he also has some glowing, wonderful attributes about him as well. And I think that people should stand behind him and support what he's trying to do. He's trying to make America, insert America back into the world stage. We had made an exit. We were leading from behind, if you remember correctly. We were a joke for the last 8 years in this whole world. So what he's doing right now, he's rebuilding. Well, and this is very difficult to do. And like you said, Malcolm, there's a deep state, and Eben referred to this.
Right.
There's a deep state that's against him.
Mm-hmm.
I, however, have a very Pollyanna type of point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that he can overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you how he'll overcome it.
Okay.
He'll overcome it only if we, the people, go to our senators and our congresspeople and tell them that we want what Trump wants. We have to push this ship in the right direction.
Well, it's funny, Ava. What you're speaking about right now, let me say to you this, is a bit of a revolution. Now, the revolution already started. You know, back a year, 2 years ago on national radio, when things were really getting pretty bad, as you say, the toxic environment of the political establishment around the world under the previous administration, I know both of you ladies would agree, was about as hazard as it could be. It was such a hazardous environment, and we had lost so much ground from the West. I mean, you agree with that statement, even, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you look at that previous 8 years, you see all of that that had happened, and really you can even go back even the administration before that, which was also a bad one as far as I can see, and it's been unraveling for some time. So now mm-hmm. you have all of these crumbles all over the place. Things have deteriorated to such a point. And then I had often said, you know, there's going to be a revolution at some point. The people are going to rise. Because, you know, even no matter what we think about a shadow government or who's ruling the world or so on and so forth, you, at the end of the day, the people will rise and the people will take control back. This can happen. This will happen. And it has happened. And here we are again. And the sort of the opening of the revolution and where the game started again was the election when he was elected to office. Now, I think you're a little too harsh with, well, you know, this man didn't do this or, you know, it's a puppet regime. You know, there are, you know, in all fairness even, listen, there are a lot of forces in play. And a lot of these forces, there's a whole environment there. Whether you, you know, you like them, you love them, you hate them, there's an environment in place. You can come in and, you know, break the cookie jar and start tossing things around, but there is a whole establishment around. You know, there were a lot of people who even said to me on the side they were worried about the president's safety. They were worried about other factors involved. Of course, the people went berserk. As I say, when you turn lights on, cockroaches run, ladies. They don't stay there to look at you because they know what's going to happen next. And a lot of these people would fit the mode of a cockroach, you see? So now that the lights are coming on everywhere, like them or love them or hate them, there's some real problems here. And people are worried and they're scared. And so that's kind of what we're seeing now. So two things, even. I think we have the start of a revolution. I think, yeah, there are a lot of forces in play, and a lot of people are not happy with the way this thing is now gone. They didn't think Donald Trump was going to take the presidency, is the bottom line. And they thought they could keep a handle on it. And now they can't keep a handle on it. Now, where does he come? I think there's a lot of chapters yet to be unwritten, even. So I can't really put you on the spot to say, you know, what do you think will happen? We don't really know. But I do know that, you know, many of these cockroaches are now are in fear of their life. They're in fear of their power, and they are running. Where that happens or falls next, I don't really know. I don't think anybody knows. But we got to give him a shot to see what he can do. Again, I've been very critical of Trump. I won't say that I haven't been, because I have been. I think some of his tweets are over the top. I think some of his commentary on some of the people out there are ridiculous. His comments about the media, I think he needs to move away from that and just get on with a big agenda. I don't support a lot of the people who support that sort of game plan. I think that undermines the presidency. It undermines the power. And it pulls him down into their world, which is a pretty shitty world, you think about it, ladies, you know? So I think there are a lot of factors in play here. So even I think moving forward now, it's going to be very interesting to see how Vladimir Putin, and you know, it's back when Ronald Reagan was so successful with Mikhail Gorbachev and Margaret Thatcher and Pope John Paul, for that matter. These people changed the world in a lot of very unique ways. It's amazing what can happen with the power. In other words, if leaders get together and they connect on a personal level and they have chemistry, that old word chemistry, there's a lot that can get done. Now, when people don't like each other and the chemistry is not there, it's amazing how relationships can suffer on a world stage. And it's almost crazy that, you know, so for instance, Barack Obama and Vladimir Putin did not like each other at all. They hated each other. And that was obvious. You could see the body language. You could see the meetings. You could see the tempo of everything. It never worked. And we all suffered. Now we're going to see. So on that basis even, is there a possibility? Let's talk about the optimistic what might happen. So with having said all that, is there a possibility that Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump can carve out a unique political relationship for the future of the world? Or is this just no chance or possibility at all in your mind?
Well, there is a lot of will, positive will in Russia, but not in the West. But let me say this. It's not so much about, I mean, who has good chemistry.
It does matter. I disagree with you wholeheartedly.
No, but I mean, let me come to the point. It's not about who has good chemistry. It's not about who is in power. This is not only about power. I mean, the whole system, and I mean, both our governments, our leaders, and the people are morally corrupt in the West. That's our problem. We are morally corrupt. And that's why, I mean, it's just a very superficial.
I don't believe every one of us.
I don't believe it is either.
No, but I mean, we are very morally corrupt, and we have lost the faith in ourselves, in our culture, in our values, and in God. I mean, and that's widespread all over the West. And that's why just to have some political solutions won't solve our problem before we take a kind of, we need to check ourselves. Because we're so busy with pointing fingers at others and say, oh, these are the bad guys and they should think like us. I mean, we are deeply morally corrupt on all levels. I mean, we are promoting same-sex marriages, abortion, euthanasia. I mean, people don't even want to fight against radical Islam. We're just letting them conquer us. I mean, we're finished if we don't have a spiritual revival. We're finished. And that was what Trump actually said yesterday in Poland. I mean, he asked the questions, are the Western civilization willing to fight for their survival or not? He said,
well, there you go. So he did challenge the status quo.
I mean, he said that we needed to look at the Polish people because of their spirit, because of their faith in God. He said that. And he was talking about when John Paul II, the Pope, visited Poland, and there were huge gathering, and they were not asking for privileges, but they were asking they said, we want God. So he wanted the West to say that. And actually, he said that people in Europe still are crying, we want God. I don't think that's true, but I hope they will do. So he was actually giving a direction. And this is something that the Russians can understand, because after they have survived 75 years of atheism, they want to come back to God. So we have to meet on this level. So I think, yes, if Putin and Donald Trump can meet also on a moral and spiritual level, that will be great, because this is where they have to start. Because the Russians, they are deeply concerned about that Europe is just vanishing. Because they actually are very much in favor of, they really love the old European country before it went crazy and got morally corrupt. And they're very concerned that this should be preserved or revived. And Patriarch Kirill even said that the Russian Orthodox Church really wanted to stretch out the hand to help the people in the West to revive their Christian roots or the Christian faith.
It actually is a very strange phenomenon. This Russia, it's funny because a lot of people think of Russia, they think of evil, they think of the devil, they think of Satan, they think of bad, they think of all of that. And yet you hear Eben here talk, as well as the information I know and I have, there's a huge revival in Russia for Christianity. There's no doubt in my mind of that. I've researched it enough to know that. I've seen it. I understand what's happening. There's a lot of philosophies out there. And a lot of world leaders understand, and church leaders specifically understand what's going on. So this revival is very, very interesting. And it's just a real phenomenon when you think of what's really happening in Russia is the opposite of what people think and what's been put out to the West. On that part, I understand what even you're saying, and I agree with that part of it. But I still think we've got to hold everybody accountable. Even I'm going to give you this thought here as we pause a moment here. We've got to hold everybody accountable. I'm sort of a kind of a cat that I say, I always have been this way, trust and then verify. So I absolutely, that's always been my style. Trust, I'm going to trust what you're saying, now I'm going to verify you. And when it comes to Vladimir Putin and all, I just want to verify some of these things. You know what I'm saying? I want to see that he does what he does. Again, my hope and goal is that the President Trump will pull him into the web of goodness, and that he will be able to get him to work with him on a major level. If that happens, and we can do some interesting things around the globe, starting with the Syria conflict, moving on from there, I'll tell you what, That'll change a whole lot. And you'll see the whole thing will take a whole different turn. And I'm telling you, people, they're going to run like hell. All these shadow government people that Eben mentioned a moment ago, and I know Ava believes as well. I think everybody understands there's a lot of power brokers in here. A lot of power brokers. We're going to pause just a moment. Russophobia, I don't have it, friends. I never had it. I know what's going on behind the scene here. So I hope you do as well. And we got to get the word out there. We got to tell people what's happening. Life, liberty, the pursuit of pleasure. We'll be back in just a moment. Eben Trenholm and Ava Armstrong.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com to get all the latest. Make it a daily stop and also get the app. You can go right to the App Store and download our free app, and that will put all our content right into your hands on your phones and your tablets. It doesn't get any easier than that.
We are back having a very interesting dialogue, conversation, Russophobia. Anybody have it out there? A whole lot of people seem to have it. It really is a very, we're living in very interesting times, friends. Very, very interesting times. It really is. It's remarkable. Remarkable. There are so many things going on in history right now that are just unbelievable. I mean, if you were going to live in any period of time that was entirely unique, quite volatile, unpredictable? This would be that moment. And where the world is changing by the moment, we're here right now. We're joined today on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure with Ava Armstrong and Eben Trenholm. And we're talking here about this Russophobia. We have a lot of different diverse opinions here, and which is what we love about this platform at America Out Loud. So we're happy to have you with us here today. And we've been bringing some awesome topics from you on this show, Life, Liberty, with our co-hosts from around the globe. During the break and coming through the break, Ava made comments that she was going to take me to the woodshed, she said. And I think when somebody takes somebody to the woodshed, I think in the country, folks, that means you're going to get paddled or something. So I'm looking forward to this paddling here as I turn this over to my esteemed colleague, Miss Ava Armstrong. Yes, ma'am?
Yes. your description of Mr. Trump or President Trump being a little bit outrageous on his tweets and so forth.
Right.
I can buy into that, okay? But I also want to let you know that you left out something. His predecessor blasted Rush Limbaugh constantly. And he also blasted Fox News on occasion.
Right.
And he also used a selfie stick in the Oval Office. And he also had a beer summit. And he inserted himself many times where he shouldn't have been. So I just want you to know there was a long history of that.
Now, Ava, I hear that, and I hear you, love, but listen to me now. Two wrongs, three wrongs, four wrongs don't make a right, okay?
No, I agree. I agree with you. I mean, I'd rather have him focus on policy.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of things the previous... There's nothing, hardly anything I agree on that the previous administration did, and there's very little I agree with that the Bush administration did before him. I think both political parties...
Yeah, I have my issues with that, too.
Yeah, I think both political parties are corrupt. I think they both are very, very corrupt. I think there's so much corruption in the world that isn't even close to funny. I totally get that. I hear you. The problem is this. Here's the thing I wish... I know Eben was very optimistic with Trump coming into office. I knew you were, Ava, when that had happened. I understand. A lot of people thought, okay, maybe here's a chance. Maybe here's a chance. And I get that. I get that. I was kind of watching him. He's a very calculated businessman and politician, Donald Trump is. And I've been watching him.
And an entertainer. He's also an entertainer.
He's a showman. That's right. That's right. And I've been watching him and studying his moves and what he's doing, how he's doing it. But here's the thing. When you are calling people out, when you're trying to do, like Eben moments ago in the last segment referenced that, you know, well, he didn't, you know, he kind of let me down a little bit because of the shadow government, or he's just a puppet, or this, that, you know, all these very critical things. Like, somehow you reference him like he's Superman, even. Like he's freaking Superman or Underdog or like, dun, 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 I'm here to save the day. I mean, come on, girlfriend. I mean, he's dealing with forces that would choke any of us down and kill us. And that I get.
But Malcolm, what did he say doing his campaign, drain the swamp. He was so,
trying to drain the swamp, honey, but those crocodiles are biting his ass a mile a minute.
You know, he was telling everybody, I'm going to fix it. And you know what? The show is still going on.
You're not in the final segment, love.
The person Trump that did the campaign is not the same person as.
Yeah, I don't agree with you. I do not agree with you.
It's not.
I don't agree with you. You're wrong. You made fun of us studying Russia. You haven't been here enough to know what's going on then, because that's not a true statement.
He's fighting a good fight.
I'm critical of Trump. I'm critical of Trump for a lot of reasons.
I know a lot. You know, I know a lot of Trump supporters that have had the same feeling about him, that he has been, I don't know, maybe they have forced him or maybe they have threatened him. I don't know. Maybe he's in a very difficult situation.
Look at the political movements around him. He's got all of the media elites against him.
You always have a moral choice. He can say, okay, I'm going to step down and I'm going to reveal all of you. Instead of just cooperating, you have a moral choice.
I don't think he's cooperating. I don't see it with somebody who is not having my agenda.
So I'm leaving the office. He could have.
What the hell's he cooperating on? He's not cooperating on anything.
Much of what he promised in his campaign,
he
has
just
now
started.
Been changed.
You're being unreasonable.
There's a learning curve for someone who's never been in politics. There really is.
But you know what? I really think we should get back to Russia, because now we're just going to talk about Trump. Let's make another program where we talk about Trump, because I would like to bring the Russian aspect into this
conversation. Let's do it. You go ahead. You got the floor. Go ahead.
Because I have been, as I said previously, I have been a lot to Russia the last 3 years, recent 3 years. And I think it's interesting to bring into the whole conversation, what are the Russians saying to all what's going on in the West? And last time I was there, it's just a few weeks ago, I asked a lot of Russians, but how do you feel about that we are blaming you for everything? So, you know, the Russians have a wonderful humor. So now they started with these hashtags, said the Russians did it themselves. So, you know, they're actually joking about it. But I didn't see any kind of aggression among the Russians. They were just really sad. They were really, really sad. And they raised the question a lot of times, why do you hate us so much? We don't understand why you hate us so much. And we're just waiting for better times. But I didn't see anybody being aggressive and wanted war with the West, and now we're going to hate you back and things like that. Not at all. They were just concerned about what was going on. And they have no clue why we hate them so much. And they just really hope that someday we will come back to common sense and we can start to cooperate. That is the Russian perspective. And people think that they're enemies and they're evil people. I mean, they haven't got a clue in the West what's going on in Russia. And people are just sad. They're just really sad.
Well, the only guy I'm really nervous about is Putin himself, to be honest with you. He's got a history that frightens me.
No, you are so brainwashed. You're so brainwashed. And I can't stand to hear this, because you haven't. I mean, there are so many things that Putin is saying in Russia, in his speeches, that is never reported in the West, where he says a lot of common sense. He says a lot of Christian things. And a lot of Russian people actually are in favor of him. And they're not evil people. I mean, it's almost 90%, more than 80% of the Russians who are supporting him. So you say all these people are just, you know, completely stupid and they have no idea who they're voting for. President Putin has gone through a long sort of, I would say, personal development since he became the president. But you have to go to Russia. You have to speak to the Russians. You have to read Russian media. You have to read all his speeches, which are never reported in the West. And you would start to understand that he is not the person that CNN tells you that he is.
All right, stop there a minute. Let's have a dialogue here, Eben. So what kind of person is he specifically? Describe Putin. Take the next minute. Describe Putin to us, please.
He is a president who is concerned about conservative values. He's very concerned about Russia. He's protecting Russian interests. I mean, Russia sees the West as a threat. They feel threatened by us. They feel threatened by NATO, who is, you know, pushing their limits all the time. They need to protect themselves. They're not a very aggressive country. Putin is not aggressive. He's just trying to protect his own interests, which all sorts of world leaders would do. And he's very, very concerned about, you know, bringing back Christianity into Russia. And this is an aspect of Putin, which is, of course, never reported on CNN or Fox News, because they're not interested in that. But he is, and he's talking a lot about it. He's reopening monasteries. He goes on personal retreats in monasteries. He attends a lot of church services himself. I was together with him in church some weeks ago, where he was at a big church opening in Moscow, a big consecration of a new church. He was there to give a speech, and he was extremely humble. And it was wonderful to hear what he was saying. It was not reported in one American media, not one, where he was talking about the importance of faith, how he has done a lot to bring the Russian church abroad together with the Moscow Patriarchate, and how he was telling, how he was talking about, he was admitting the horrors that the state has committed against Christians, and he wants to reconcile. Things like that. He's a good person.
Okay,
all right. I mean, he is a good person.
Okay, all right. So are you saying then, You believe no hope, or you believe there's some possibilities or hope that he and Donald Trump can forge a new way forward?
I think they have the same values. I mean, they are concerned about families, conservative values, about faith, about protecting borders, things like that. So, and they are, I think what they could really work together in is actually defeating radical Islam.
So you believe they have a good shot then to do that, and you believe that they have many similar values then?
Yes, I think they have.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons why that leftist wants to separate.
All right. Let's bring Ava into this dialogue a moment here. And Ava, I want to ask you, you started to say before Eben had gone there about Putin himself. Now, when you, so there's a, again, what she's saying is the media and the perception that is put out is not the reality. What is your feelings? I mean, it does give you pause, I think, when you digest that and you say, okay, you listen to the passion when you hear Eben, who's from the West, who gets this. What do you see historically that worries you about the man himself, about Putin?
I've just, you know, read things about him in the KGB and stuff like that. You know, that he's, you know, a pretty serious character to deal with. And I'm just a little bit concerned that he's still there. I mean, he's been there for a long time, and I hope he has made a progression through some kind of transformation, like she said.
That's thing I thought of. Why don't they have something? They say they are going to elect a president. They don't elect a president there. They don't elect him. They take their spot, and they have these phony elections. Why don't they have a real election even?
Well, there are, if people write openly,
what are you talking about, Malcolm? They have a real
election.
Oh, come
on. It's not a real election. The whole thing is tainted. You're talking about fixed elections.
Listen, you, both of you are so brainwashed. I can't stand to listen to this. You're so brainwashed. I mean, they have real elections. They have a lot of media who is opposed to Putin. They have demonstrations on the Red Square against him. They're not in jail. I know a lot of journalists in Russia, and they're criticizing Putin. They are fine. They're
Eben, let me ask you this. Why is it that the people who go against Putin end up dead in a morgue?
It's not true. It's not true.
Not true? I don't know.
No, it's not. You know what? Listen, there are no evidence. There are no evidence. I mean, and there are many countries where a lot of journalists would get persecuted. Russia is not even the worst place. But, you know, I asked about this in Russia, and everybody says, you can criticize Putin as much as you want. Nothing will happen to you. I mean, the reason why Pussy Riot got into jail was not because they criticized Putin, but because they went into a church to do it. Because there have been a lot of events with Pussy Riot on the Red Square where they were criticizing Putin. Nothing happened to them. It was because they went into a church. And what you can't do in Russia is to stick your nose into other people's money affairs. Then you're dead. And because there are the Russian mafia, there are a lot of, you know, criminals. And so, of course, they want to make it look like it was the Kremlin who did it. But, it is not black and white. And these journalists have put their nose into other people's money affairs. And you don't do that in Russia, because then you have a problem. But you can criticize Putin as much as you want.
Well,
you can't do it. I mean, you can't do it on state television. You can't do it on state television. But you won't find anybody at Fox News saying that Trump is a jerk. You won't find anybody on Fox News that would do this. So it is exactly the same. You don't find people going on state television in Russia criticizing Putin, but you have a lot of alternative media, and now with the internet, they can do whatever they want, and they're criticizing him.
Well, part of the beauty and the benefit of this platform, Eben and Ava, is that at America Out Loud, we can put the truth forward. We have these diverse opinions. We have these diverse conversations. I'm telling you what, this thing can be a beautiful relationship ahead, and we can offset a lot of the bad things. Now, of course, a lot of people are going to go crying, but that's the way it is. You know what? We'll buy him a crying towel. I'm going to print up some crying towels at America Out Loud. We'll send them all to those people, America Out Loud, the crying towel, and they can use that to wipe their face, or they can wipe their ass with it. Either one, I'm okay with it. Well, listen, thanks for joining me today. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. This has been a great conversation. I hope you've enjoyed it. I know I have. Russophobia. I don't have the disease, my friends, and don't you catch it either as well, because it itches like hell. Eben Tranholm, Ava Armstrong, this is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.